on Evers, and I am so excited about the guest who is waiting to chat with you. Her name is Dr. Laura DiGiorgio, and we've had her on the net talking about all of the wonderful things that she does, and now the day is here and she's here. Welcome, Dr. Laura.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Some of the things that, before we really get into some of this marvelous information that you have on your website, why don't you first give everyone the name of your website?
It's deeptransnow.com. It's deeptransnow.com.
That's marvelous. Couple questions that I have in case people in the audience don't understand this terminology. You're a clinical
hypnotherapist.
Yes, hypnotherapist, excuse me, and an LLP
master practitioner. Yeah.
Okay, now would you be kind enough just to explain those two things?
Clinical hypnotherapy is simply hypnosis used for clinical purposes, like to help people overcome obstacles mainly related to healing.
Mm-hmm.
And neurolinguistic programming uses different, it's in a way part of hypnosis. It just uses different techniques to, some are like waking hypnosis.
Similar to a waking hypnosis?
Yeah. In traditional hypnosis, you tell the person, you get the person to relax and tell the person to go to sleep.
Yeah.
With neurolinguistic programming, you don't have to do that. You can just use hypnotic language. An example of this is instead of saying somebody, let's say, close the door, use a little word, please close the door.
Oh.
It makes it more subtle. Well, this is just a simple example. There is much, much more to that.
I'm sure it is, but thank you for clarifying that. Now, some of your background, you talked about the Kundalini yoga that you have studied, and I'm very curious about that. Can you give us a little idea of that kind of yoga?
There are different kinds of, that all fall into Kundalini yoga. One that more people are familiar with is from India, Hindu style. But there is also Taoist yoga, which is from China. I was, in a way, practicing more the Chinese style.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of both of them is spiritual alchemy, or raising the energy, raising one's consciousness and awareness to get to a state of oneness.
I love that word alchemy. Tell me, when someone is raising their awareness, what are some of the signs that they might understand that they are raising their awakeness? Do you see something different, hear something different?
Yeah, well, one thing that happens, some subjective signs may be different with different people, but one thing that happens is, for example, that the time lag between the time you think a thought and you experience the thought in the outer world, or what some people would call synchronicities, they increase, or the time lag shortens. So eventually you just think a thought, and the next moment you experience it in the outer world. So the popular statement that everything is just a dream, or that everything outside of you is projection of your consciousness, projection of your thoughts, it becomes very, very real.
You know, it seems to me that this is the case this year. The energy seems to be such that people's thoughts are materializing faster. Would you agree with that? Or
that's right.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that perhaps this is because more people are becoming aware and searching?
The thing that more people are becoming aware, that may contribute the rest of the population to awaken faster. It's what was called morphogenic resonance, where a certain number of people or critical mass of people or species learn something, then the rest open to that knowledge even without consciously really doing, investing any effort.
You know, that's marvelous. I've been intrigued with that word, critical mass. Does science, or say in your practice, have any concept of perhaps what percentage of people are needed before critical mass is reached?
I know that in Bible, I think, or the popular number is like 144,000, but I am not really sure how exact it is. It's really kind of that it's about 144,000, or it's more whatever it's needed. Like when I originally learned esoteric things, what they would say that to manifest something, it requires certain amount of energy. And when that amount of energy, when you, through your, either through repetition or through investment of emotion, when you supply enough energy, whatever is needed for that to manifest, then it manifests. So
yeah.
For different things, the number or the amount may be different. Like, it's not only that there are so many people thinking certain thoughts, but even one person, when the person thinks something, they may have more or less emotions, more or less energy invested into it.
Oh, in other words, some of the people who are involved in the project might be more emotionally vested in the project.
That's right. Like one of the ways that we invest energy into something is through emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is through repetition. So like the more emotions you have invested in something, the less repetition it needs.
Therefore, perhaps maybe the fewer people are needed to be involved in a project to materialize the project.
That's what some spiritual teachers used to say. They don't really need everybody on the planet to get involved. They just need a few very good people.
Well, I know a few good people.
Let's get working. People who are really, really invested into it, who gave it all of themselves.
You know, that's very, that makes you feel like with the future, we want to move towards the light. That's a rather positive thought, that maybe we don't need as many people as we thought to actually turn the tide, so to speak.
That's right. So, well, each one of us can basically do our best.
Yes. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you had on the website, Dr. Laura, because I would suggest that everybody who listens to this go to your website. There is a ton of information, all kinds of information on here. I was amazed, actually, when I started going through some of the things that you have on your website. First of all, the things that a person can download free. The ones on hypnosis, I mean, there is so much here. For instance, how long are these usually, like a couple minutes or like you've got things on gratitude and inner peace?
Yeah, well, full downloads that I have there, they're about 30 minutes long. And then I have some shorter ones that are 7 minutes. Hypnosis
mm-hmm.
ones I have, like, they're all about 25, 30 minutes long. The other ones that you can just listen over and over, they may be 7, 8 minutes long.
And so would you say that this is sort of like a meditation that's programming the subconscious? Is that a fair way to describe this?
Yeah, that's a fair way to describe it.
Mm-hmm. I just love some of the topics here, like forgiveness and happiness. I was intrigued with this one, breaking free from limitations. That is a marvelous one. I haven't listen to that one in particular, and I'm going to have to. Do you have any thoughts that you could tell the audience about this? Because I think we all want to break free from limitations, yet somehow we stay in our limitations.
Well, I think that recording has brought more benefits to people than any other on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm offering it for free.
I know. It's wonderful.
What happens when you work with new thoughts, is that with hypnosis or meditation or any other, like using affirmation, is that the new idea works in conjunction with whatever is already in your subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the results that you get will also depend on your worldview, beliefs, desires, and motivations. Not everybody wants to know the light or know the God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people do, and people who have passion for, like, spiritual things, they may open more in that way. People that are more into material things. I had some people who say, who just listened to that recording day and night for a week, and the woman said, oh, she met a new loving partner and her new business started, and some people would say they got this motivation to clean the house altogether. The reasons that people get are completely, maybe completely different and totally different than what I expected that recording would do.
Mm-hmm.
My reason for creating is, was, or my passion is for spiritual things.
Yes.
Well, I think once you are in line with your spiritual self, then everything starts to fall in place.
Indeed. This other one was interesting, too. Debt-free. I think so many people in the world really need that.
That's right. That's also why I put it there for free. I get so many. One of the requests that I get probably the most is people say they are broke or they don't have money, and there is no reason that they should be that way. So I'm giving that recording for free to help people. It really has good ideas whether people are in debt or if they just want to increase abundance. It works. Beautiful. Like, I had people, I had actually myself, I was using those things, and there are two ways that it worked for me, like using those ideas many, many years ago. I had some, I'm not good at saving money. I mean, with me, I believe, I suppose that where the money came from, there will always more will come from there. So sometimes I go and kind of spend everything that I have on buying more books or learning programs. So once I was in debt, and I spent money on some courses. I didn't have a clue how was I going to pay for it. And what happened was I was just affirming that I live the truth, and that kind of I don't owe anybody anything, and nobody owes me anything. And the miracle happened. All the debts were erased completely out of credit cards and out of computers. It was kind of like I thought it's impossible to happen, but it happened.
I love that. You don't owe anybody anything, and nobody owes you anything, and you kept affirming that.
Well, in a spiritual sense, if you really get into the spiritual state of mind, everything belongs to this one spirit. It doesn't really belong to you as to your body. So once you let go of that idea that you have dealings with this or that person, you just kind of... you're just in relationship with your spiritual self,
mm-hmm.
kind of everything clears.
I was intrigued with change your body. How did you decide to put that one up there for free?
I put that one because I had the people that would like to, well, it doesn't matter whether it's for healing purposes or for aesthetic purposes.
Oh, okay.
I think all of us at some point get into a situation where we have to deal with something that is much bigger than we are.
Yeah.
And sometimes some people, they give up or they feel depressed, and some people, they cope with things. So I was, several times I would get some exotic ailments where doctors would say it's impossible to do anything about it. So, there was one time they wanted to slice me, and he said, forget it, or I do not let the doctors come with any sharp objects near my body. So,
good thought.
I decided was, I figured there is this one intelligence that created my body and that knows how to fix it. So mm-hmm. instead of letting doctors experiment on me, I will just use this, like, mind power, hypnosis, prayer, whatever you like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for this to work, you have to be in this state of mind. You don't just hope or wish or maybe it's going to work. You have to really have this attitude to trust it and to see your body as energy that changes all the time. Like knowing that you have power with your thoughts to change it, it makes huge difference whether you'll kind of be able to do something or it will remain just wishful thinking.
I heard somebody describe that one time with reference to going into a restaurant and eating. And they said if you sat down and you looked at the menu and you saw something on the menu and you picked out an item on the menu and you told the waitress this is what you wanted, you knew for sure that was going to come to your table.
That's right.
And it's almost like what you're talking about. We need to be in that state of mind to bring these changes. We just know they're going to happen.
Yeah, that is actually one of the main obstacles that people face when they start to work with hypnosis, is that letting go part.
Mm-hmm.
You just said when you order food in a restaurant, you trust it is coming. Or when
that's
the farmer
right.
plants a seed, he plants it and he doesn't go uprooting it every few minutes to check whether it's growing. Maybe
mm-hmm.
when the woman is pregnant, you don't go opening her stomach to see whether baby is growing. You kind of trust it's working.
He knows it's working.
So the same, it works exactly in the same way when you use hypnosis or prayer or meditation, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
When you plant a thought,
mm-hmm.
it grows first in the dark and in the silence, and you just kind of, if you're not sure, you keep on repeating it.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of have this sense of trust, and you let it happen. There's this part that you do, like by imagining what you want, you are planting a seed. And then you let this, what do you call it, God or your subconscious, take over from there. Sometimes I compare it to a washing machine. If you put clothes in a washing machine, you have to close the door and let it wash. If you open the door, it's not going to work. So that's the same way that it works. It's like there is a door between conscious mind and subconscious mind. And before subconscious will work on what you ordered, you have to close the door and let it.
That's an excellent analogy. You have another one here about love. I bet you get some interesting experiences with that, how people brought love in their life.
Yeah, that one for love, it's not just for romantic involvement. What they had in mind more was using love to in every day or being aware of love to deal with issues.
Mm-hmm.
I had very, very interesting experiences, but I have to admit that I didn't originally use love if there was any other way I could deal with things. But sometimes I was like cornered and I was faced with situations where there was absolutely nothing else I could do, so I surrendered to love. I decided to give it a try. And I found that it worked, and then I started to practice it more often. For example, in some bizarre situations, I was walking on a street and there was this barking dog. I'm not really particularly fond of barking dogs, but I felt like it's almost like water opening, love gushed through my heart toward the dog, and the dog became quiet. And then I used it like in one place where I was sent an assignment in one company. There was a boss there who was, like, firing people who worked for him every 3 days. And I stayed there every day. I would send him a little bit of love.
Aww.
So this woman used to ask me around. They were wondering, how come the man is not firing me? So they asked me, is he tormenting me? I said, no. And one day I wanted to say, I'm just going to stick on the wall. I love my boss. And, well, if you treat people nicely, if you send them this loving thoughts, what you do is you are in essence seeing the truth, like spiritual truth in them, and you kind of pull that string within them. There were also places where I worked where I would send love or blessings to a person. There was a boss there tormenting everybody in the office, and the woman quit the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens, like you send love to somebody, it's up to person whether she wants to accept it or not, but you create harmonious living space.
Wonderful way to live. There's a lot on your website to cover. But before we get to that, I wanted to go over some of the CDs that you actually have available for people to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
How long are the CDs? Like
an
hour?
30 minutes long.
30 minutes?
Yeah.
The titles that you have on here are just overwhelming of all of the different areas. Emotional well-being, boosting self-confidence. You know, I think this is something very needed today. People can always use a little boost in their self-confidence.
Okay.
Are you finding that that's true, that there's a lot of people who need that little lift in some of the self-confidence?
Yeah, I think people need a little bit of lift in every area.
That's true.
Most of the people. So,
you have one here, Recover from Grief.
Yeah.
That's probably something I would say it's very, very important. People who have a tragedy in their life, lost a loved one, sometimes they just can't get over that, and they get stuck in that.
It's kind of natural in the beginning when we experienced last year. It's not a pleasant experience, and with grief and suffering, but there is a point where you have to move on.
That's right.
I mean, change is a... I know we look at the things that are like, I don't know, furniture or something, and it looks like it's a permanent thing here on this planet or to our bodies. Like, next day it's still there, but everything changes. And one of the spiritual things or lessons is a lesson in non-attachment to material
mm-hmm.
things. So when one attaches to that which is spiritual, to that which is permanent, then it's much easier to deal with these things that change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had actually my own assortment of lessons. There was one day when I was repeating all day just to see what happens, that I think only what God wants me to think. I say only what God wants me to say. I do only what God wants me to do. And at the end of that day, I felt as if kind of force, like a force field of energy around me, and it was taking my feet somewhere to a place where I've never been before. And when I found myself in front where I was standing, I was in front of my boyfriend's car, and in the car he was with some other woman.
Oh, my.
And I was thinking, of all things, why would God want me to know something like that? This is the last thing in the world that I ever want you to know. It took me many, many years to realize, oh, that was just another lesson in detachment.
Mm-hmm.
I had lots of similar experiences, not with boyfriends, but with things that were... anytime I would start to get attached to something, something would happen. It's almost like a slap.
Mm-hmm.
So until I finally got a message, it's kind of, okay, I can enjoy everything I want here as long as I realize that everything in this material world, it just comes and goes. But that which is really important, what is the essence, it is there all the time. So it's the same with the people that leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's, the body is not there anymore. I know we get attached to bodies. We just are used to, we see somebody and we just see the body. But there is another lesson there to look beyond the body and to see the spirit within, and the spirit within never goes away.
Since you're a spiritual person and have studied a lot of spiritual work also, you probably, it would be safe to say that you believe in reincarnation?
Yeah.
If you believe in reincarnation, would you say that some of these problems that people have are holdovers from over lifetime, you know, from other lifetimes?
Yeah. Well, the problems, there are problems that go back from other lifetimes, or some people would say there is karma. But the thing with karma is that you can really resolve it the moment you decide to surrender. You decide to let go of that which is material, and you start to focus on that which is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, I don't know if, I suppose you're familiar with the vibration, the thought and emotions, they create a vibration. So
no,
any,
I'm not, but it sounds very interesting.
So at any point in time, with our thoughts and emotions, we create whatever we attract or experience in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something that can be, there is the same thing, like whether you want to heal a body or you want to heal finances or whatever it is. Like there were times when I would had my this health problems. At some point, my face got paralyzed. And that just told me I'll live like that for the rest of my life or it may get worse.
Mm-hmm.
It was unacceptable to me, so I used my mind to retrace back. You can say it was karmic because before that, I have experienced stress, and there is, I experienced stress because I was not looking spiritually at the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a lesson. But it took me only a few days to correct the situation. My face returned completely to normal, and my friend, who is also a hypnotist, said, oh, it's one thing to read about miracles. It's another thing to watch it happen in front of your eyes. But the thing is that the moment you change this, what have you programmed in your emotions and what is in your subconscious. Subconscious is the realm of emotions. Your outer experience changes. So whatever karma you may have, like sometimes people were, they would have this really like, I don't know, they would be born with a problem that was crippling. It's like congenital disease. But it doesn't matter. The moment you change whatever is in your subconscious, the moment you change your energy with your thoughts and emotions or programming, the condition changes. Sometimes people will change it through breathing. They just release whatever it is that's created an obstacle.
I believe very strongly in what you're saying. And if we could just revisit that thought about reprogramming. So a person has a problem, regardless of what problem it is, they want to change it, and they have to reprogram their thoughts and their emotions. Is this done strictly through the will, or do they need to pray for that kind of assistance?
If you can do it on your own, you can pray, of course. But for example, there are people sometimes they have crippling illnesses, and they decide to forgive somebody. They were holding on resentment to something.
Oh.
It doesn't matter from this life or other life or somebody did something, and they're just so fixated on whatever is the problem. But the moment they forgive whatever it is that they were holding, they release that energy that is creating blockage, and they experience spontaneous healing.
I believe in forgiveness.
Now,
suppose a person is not certain of who they need to forgive or what they need to forgive. They're trying to reprogram. What might they say to their mind, just a general forgiveness of anything that they need to forgive, or do they have to have a specific point of to mention about forgiveness? I guess what I'm saying is, does a person have to know what they need to forgive, or can they forgive without actually knowing what it was that they needed to forgive?
Well, you may feel kind of an obstacle, an energy obstacle or some kind of like tension in your body if you are holding on to something. One of the spiritual practices that, there are many practices spiritual that can deal with it. One of them is practicing gratitude for everything. Now, if something happened in the past, and that you are upset about, and you start to contemplate how did that help you to grow, or how did it help you to get deep within you and get some strength you didn't even know, to access some strength that you didn't even know that you had, then it already automatically, when you feel grateful for whatever happened, you have forgiven it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you have seen something good in it.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of forgiving, which is like in A Course in Miracles, for example, is you just say that nothing that you think, the process there is acknowledging that all that you think is basically because you are not looking through the eyes of the spirit, you are looking through the eyes of your mortal consciousness, like seeing yourself as separate from the others. So all that you're seeing when you look that way is erroneous.
Mm-hmm.
In order to see the truth, you have to get into this state where you experience yourself at one with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I like to compare it to if you have a candle and it has a light and you have a number of candles, there is only one light.
You mean because it's acting as a group light?
But once you're aware of the light, like if you think of candle as a human body and the light there as a spirit, if you have room of candles and you have the candle and you focus on yourself as the light,
mm-hmm.
there is no more, you experience yourself as just like one light with everything and everyone else. There is no more separation that there is this candlestick and that candlestick and that candlestick.
That word oneness is such a beautiful word, isn't it?
When you're in that state of mind, well, in Bible that was said, first you seek the kingdom of God. That is what this kingdom of God is, this state of consciousness or oneness. And when you're in that state of oneness, there is no more resistance in your energy field, in your body, and that also contributes to automatically, there is then nothing to forgive, because
mm-hmm.
you are then at one with everything, so there is no one left to forgive.
There's some beautiful thoughts and just full of truth and help. I'm looking over some of your hypnosis CDs for accelerated learning.
Mm-hmm.
My golly, focus and concentration. We all need some of that, don't we? And memory and improvement. Accelerated learning of foreign languages. Another one that I happen to notice here, passing exams. Tell me a little bit about that. I'm intrigued with that one. How would someone listen to a hypnosis CD to help pass an exam?
Well, for one thing, it helps to put you in a state of mind that if you are learning, that you are absorbing information, and when the test time comes, that whatever it is that you need to know, it comes spontaneously from your mind. I have, again, a long time ago, one of my experiments was that I was attending a course, and I haven't studied the entire trimester,
mm-hmm.
and I was supposed to do a test, so I just put one of those passing exams subliminal recordings. At the time, I wasn't even sure if those things would work or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day, I listened to it before the test, and the next day, when I had this test, I told everybody that I was going to fail because my mind was completely blank. I didn't remember anything.
I know about that one.
When the test started, I got their pen and paper. It's just information started to pour out of me out of nowhere, and I got almost the highest mark in the class.
I failed a Latin test one time like that. I should have had your CD.
It's amazing things. I don't do the thing called further reading, but there is such a course where you are where you learn to, when you read a book, you are not really using your conscious mind. You are letting your subconscious absorb the information.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends who are practicing it a lot, and it's amazing. It works also the same way when you need some information. You just kind of, you discover you know it, even though you don't have a clue, you don't remember that you were consciously learning it.
So your subconscious is remembering it, and you're sort of tapping into your subconscious.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There are also sometimes with I was attending a Silva training, and there was a kid there. It's also like hypnosis. And a kid was there having a test in school, and he wasn't very much in the mood to study. He was supposed to do a test about some book. So when he was doing a test, he imagined he was talking to the author of the book. And he got 80% on the test.
That's amazing.
His parents said, well, if you studied, you could have gotten 100%. It was good. It's amazing what your mind can do, especially if you do something every day to train it.
You know, that's an interesting thought because we study, we read a book and we study, but that's a really interesting thought to put out the idea that you're actually contacting the author's mind as to what he wrote. Because I could see where that's a possibility. All information is out there on the ether, so to speak.
That's right.
And so why couldn't we tap into it?
Yeah, we can. I mean, we can access anything except that we have these filters that we think that this is possible or that is not possible, mm-hmm. so we don't do it. Even if the things happen, instead of acknowledging them, that is one important aspect that really accelerates one's development of mind power. It's when you happen little things happening, like most people, they just toss it away or they say nothing happened or they just imagine that that was an accident. If mm-hmm. they acknowledged it with gratitude, that kind of, yeah, they actually made a difference. What it does is that programs subconscious mind for success, and they program themselves to with the thoughts, yeah, I can really do this thing, and they have greater expectations, and because they have more expectations next time and they are more open to miraculous things happening, then more wonderful things happen.
You're probably aware of that story of Edgar Casey sleeping on a book and then his subconscious remembered everything that was in the book. Did you hear that story?
I haven't, but
When you were talking about that, I was reminded of that. He didn't actually read the book, didn't study it, but he slept on it, and he found that he could remember that what was in the book.
I'd like
to be able to do that, but maybe I can.
Yeah, you should give it a try. What they do, they were experimenting in China with, because there was a wonderful book, it's hard to get, though, called The Super Psychics of China.
Oh, my.
It's not really about super psychics. It's people that have been, I don't really call it psychic ability. Some of it may fall into the realm of psychic abilities, but it's basically people that practice things like Qigong. They work with consciousness and energy. And they would have kids there. They would put the book under the armpit. It doesn't really matter where you put it because, as you said, we live in this infinite, like, knowledge and in an ocean of information. So you just open yourself to the information, and it comes if you practice. But here, kids would put the book under the armpit or under the hand, and they would just know what's in the book. And I suppose it was also, like, this critical factor because I never heard of such things happening in North America. But there in certain places, there would be a whole bunch of kids who do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they would have these training classes. They would take children that are maybe 12 years old. And as opposite to here, kids go to school, and when they have some extraordinary experiences, other people tell them, oh, you're just imagining this, are you crazy, whatever. They put it all down. But there they would encourage this. So if you encourage certain states of mind, certain ideas, accepting that anything is possible in a little child, in a small child, then the child is open to this kind of wonderful things happening, and they experience more amazing things than somebody who grew up, everybody telling him, oh, don't think like that, this is like stupid, people think you're crazy, and just kind of putting all down anytime their imagination works. They kind of shut the kid down.
You know, that's so true. I've seen witness parents who do that. They turn off the a child's wonder and their desire and excitement to experience and explore. And I think children should start out feeling like they can accomplish anything. I'm glad you brought that point up. I think that's a good point to tell our audience. Now, you have a pain management hypnosis CD. Can you give us a little thought as to what that might be about or the process behind that?
Yeah. it happens, like probably everybody had an experience when they had some pain, and then they got on the phone and they had some really interesting conversation or something really interesting happened. And while they were immersed in this enjoyable activity, there was no pain because they were not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the pain reduction in hypnosis is used in that way by distracting person's awareness. There was a time, again, I think I experienced most of the things that they have there on this website, recordings that they have there, largely from my, they are based on my personal experience besides learnings. There was some 20 years ago, my mother had back pain, and I read all these helpful tips how to get rid of back pain, and the moment I sent her the letter, I got back pain.
Oh, my goodness.
This is incredible. And I think God wanted me to know, either, or I programmed my subconscious mind with the idea that I have to know how it actually feels and get rid of it myself before I tell other people how to do it.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So what happened was certain events occurred, and I got involved in some really interesting experiences, and I fell in love, and I forgot everything about pain, and just at some point later, I realized that there was no more pain. But while I was thinking about pain, it got so bad that I was getting in and out of bed on all fours because I couldn't straighten up from like so much pain. So one of the way, even in hospitals, sometimes they would use this method of when they drug the person with all the different painkillers, that they would distract the person and get the person think about something that is very enjoyable or lots of fun. What happens in the process when you think about something that you very much enjoy doing, your body starts to release endorphins or pleasure hormones. So you have natural painkillers that are much stronger than those chemicals that you can buy in store.
I think, aren't those endorphins released when you laugh also?
When you what?
Laugh.
That's right. When you feel good, when you feel happy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can watch, I think, Norman Cousins or somebody like that.
I was thinking
like
the same thing, yeah.
Right. He, I think, got rid of pain or healed himself from watching funny movies. I do have this recording for stopping pain, but personally, I like to do healing at the same time. I believe that there is a reason there is a pain there. It's kind of a signal that the person should pay attention to something. So since you can use your mind to heal your body at the same time as get rid of pain, I don't see why not kind of deal with the source of the problem.
Yes.
So I like to work on both of those things at the same time. But there is one more thing that helps with pain, and that's breathing. When people experience pain in some parts of the body, let's say like stomach, it can be from tension. So when the tension is the cause, just kind of breathing deeply into that part of the body where you feel pain can get rid of pain in no time. Just because you are relaxing it and allowing the energy to flow.
That's a good reminder. Thank you. A lot of enlightened minds discuss that, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, to breathe into that area that where you're feeling pain. All of those thoughts that you've given us they're just wonderful thoughts. You were talking about so many of these tapes that you have done has come out of personal experience, and then I look down here and see preparation for dental work.
Yeah.
Did that one come out of personal experience?
Yeah, that is very much like when we talked about pain. You go to a dental office, so when you sit in the dentist chair, instead of contemplating all the unpleasant things, you sit and relax and travel mentally somewhere where you would like to be. I know when I would practice that in the dentist, and I wouldn't even be aware of the dentist there.
Mm. Now, lowering blood pressure, is that mostly a relaxing, a tape on relaxation?
It is mostly, yeah, about relaxation and breathing deeply all the way down into your stomach. Like, but I have also incorporated suggestions for nutrition and for exercise because I think that all of them contribute to...
That's an awful lot of information. I would, again, recommend people in the audience to go to the website for Dr. Laura DiGiorgio because the amount of information there is just tremendous. We're getting close. We don't have a lot of time yet to go. You know, that hour went by so fast. Before we go, I really would like for you to tell the audience a little bit about your newsletter.
Well, the newsletter is, it has lots of information. As some people say that it has everything one actually who would apply it, that one can do anything he wants with his mind. Mostly when people do hypnosis, or they read books about hypnosis here, they would learn, for example, just a method of, okay, now you go and relax, and after you relax, you program your mind with suggestions. But the other thing that I go over in my newsletters is that you can do hypnosis at any time, anywhere. Actually, you can use any of your daily activities to program your mind. For example, if you are cooking, like, or eating, you can program that food. The food can be a metaphor for whatever it is that you desire for your outcome. And as you are eating it consciously, you imagine that you are absorbing your outcome, that it is manifesting. Or you can use hypnosis when you're dancing. Or I would do a lot of meditations when I was swimming. What it does is sometimes if people feel restless, I would have people that couldn't relax or they wouldn't be in mood to relax. So there is no need, if you can't relax, no problem, you can dance your outcome. Or move around or do whatever it is. The whole idea with hypnosis or the essence of hypnosis is being able to play the game of pretending really well.
I love the idea of programming food. I really like that. Eating your program through the food that you've cooked.
Yeah, you can use any daily activity. You can kind of, sometimes people would go, let's say, over the bridge, and you decide before you go over the bridge that when the time you're across there, it's all just using these objects in the physical world as symbols or metaphors for your whatever you want to do in your imagination, what you want to program. So you may say, okay, you walk across the bridge, and then by the time you walk there, the obstacle is gone. Or you can burn the thing in the fire. You can write your obstacles or whatever it is that's upsetting you on a piece of paper and then light it up, and as the paper is burning, imagine those obstacles vanishing. It helps also people who can't focus or concentrate. Mm-hmm. When you engage all your senses in what you are doing, it's much easier than to focus on your outcome than if you're just sitting motionless and you're not used to it. Like some people feel restless, it doesn't work for them, so I give them things to do. And then people that said, oh, they couldn't do hypnosis, they said, no problem. It works beautifully.
I've heard of people using that very successfully, putting their obstacles on paper and burning it. I've also heard of people discussing doing that according to the cycle, the moon cycles. Have you looked into that?
I have long time ago, but I have decided that some places they will have this, oh, at this hour do this, at that hour do that, or yeah, if the moon is waning, then you do things you want to get rid of. If it's waxing, then you do things like for prosperity and stuff. I did work with that for a while, but most of the time it doesn't matter if you're going along with these natural things, then you're like going along with the wind. Or the wind is blowing, blowing your way. But I would work whenever. If the problem is there, I want to get rid of the problem. I work with it wherever it is.
So you don't want to wait for the next full moon to get through a problem.
No.
Do it now. Huh?
You
have thought now.
You're sure you want to get rid of it. You don't want to wait for 2 weeks and suffer with damage pain. There is no point.
Just to remind everybody about signing up for the newsletter, would you tell our audience how a person would sign up for your newsletter?
Yeah, on my website there is a page, deeptransnow.com/news.htm, or they can just click on free downloads tab, and they can sign up for the newsletter, and this gives them access to, they can learn so much about hypnosis. Actually, most of the stuff is not even available through the books on hypnosis. And they can also get, there's about a dozen of downloads, free downloads.
Well, I was very impressed with that, all of the information people can download. Now, I noticed the CDs that were available for people to purchase, and you have a lot of those, but I didn't notice books. Is everything on a CD?
Yeah, it's everything is mostly in CD. I do have some e-books with scripts, but they are intended mostly for people who know what they are doing, like for hypnotherapists, not for... It's best for people just to use CD.
A professional, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, Dr. Laura, is there any last thought that you would like to leave our audience with? You know, about your work or what you have to offer?
Well,
I know we've covered a lot. Don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yes, we have covered a lot. I haven't thought about the last thought. I always thought about new beginnings.
You wanted to talk about new beginnings?
Yeah, I always think about new beginnings. I didn't think about last thoughts. Other than that, whatever people want to accomplish, that they can start practicing using their minds. Sometimes people ask me if this or that is possible, or it's not possible, and I just say it's kind of like learning anything else. It's just a skill. The more you use your mind, the better results you get.
With that, I'd like to say, Dr. Laura, thank you so much for coming, sharing all of your wisdom, and perhaps you might want to mention your website one more time so people remember it and can go to it.
Okay, my website again is deeptransnow.com. It's deeptransnow.com.
Thank you again, Dr. Laura.
Thank you, Caroline.
Okay, and goodbye to all of our wonderful friends. This is Carolyn Evers. See you next week.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.